The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Welcome to it. Weekend edition is here. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, TJ Hennig.
Chris, you got a little something extra in your voice this morning, man. It must be that time.
It is. 35 days till kickoff, my man.
I heard some octane coming through.
And it is camp. Finally, we have football. Man, I just love this time of year. And I love the next 4 weeks. It will fly by. And it will be upon us soon. And that beautiful thing called college football, called Nebraska football. And yeah, it's good stuff. I got great rest last night, honestly. Got done with work, got to sit in the sun for a little bit, get my vitamin D kind of recharged. No booze or pizza last night, so I'm $1 million. Now, I didn't get a workout in. That said, I did have a little chill time, and yeah, and I'm looking forward to it, man. Get to hang out the next couple of hours here on Hail Varsity Radio. Can join us, can tap the line. Chilling Bridge Cork and Tap House says go ahead and dial up 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Take us with on the ESPN Lincoln app. And find us on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, at Mark Skurs, or at TJ underscore Henning. 15 minutes away, the rewind. And how good was this guy? How much fun was this guy to watch? Chad Kelce, a member of the 2017 Nebraska Football Hall of Fame. Our conversation with number 57 coming up here this hour. Next hour, I promise you, a Greg Smith sighting to talk recruiting, media days, camp.
He's got his phone situation handled?
I pray that he has, yes. Okay. And Brandon Vogel, an hour from now, Vogels will get us kicked off on Hail Varsity Radio. Kranak, did you like camping as a kid? This isn't the start to a bad joke. I'm asking, did you like camping?
I didn't go much, but the idea sounded cool to me, you know? Yeah. Are you talking about like physically staying in tents and
like
camping? Yeah. I didn't do it a lot. I really didn't. But yeah, the idea, I used to make blanket forts. Does that count?
No. Kind of a really cool thing, and that still happens in my house. I don't make them, nor does my wife, but Junior still kind of gets a kick out of it with his Nerf ammo. But from a camping standpoint, I wasn't really into it. I thought I was, and then I saw Friday the 13th, like the first or second, when I was 9 or 10 or 8 or whatever, and then you go camping a week later, and you're not down.
But that is the big deal about camping in Nebraska, though. We got to be honest. Like, you got the corn. It's kind of scary, right? You get Children of the Corn.
Could be.
But we don't have the large predators, which is good.
No.
You know, so, like, you know, you see people camping in Washington or Oregon, like giant bears. Like, I'm good.
Yeah, because there's a large bear population in Oregon. But, yeah, okay. Yeah,
well, whatever. Just give me a dwelling instead. They got bears in Oregon.
No, they don't. If they do, they're baked.
No! They got bears in Oregon?
No, I don't know. They at the zoo, they do.
Oh, dude, you need some geography.
Oh, that's I do? When I think of Pacific
Northwest.
Come on. Yes, they'll have bears in Washington. Maybe there's a few hanging out in Oregon. But let's be straight. We're talking about Yellowstone, a state over Idaho, Montana. Right.
I just Googled, are there bears in Oregon? Oregon is black bear country. Although native to the area,
Maine,
there are no longer grizzly bears.
Maine is black bear country.
There's no longer grizzly bears. There are black bears there.
Shifting it to football, I apologize to you.
Yeah.
So I love camping, or I'm a little scared of camping. That's kind of where I'm at. If I'm kind of posing this from a football standpoint to Nebraska fans, the camp storylines, you got to get into them because there's so much uncertainty about this 2017 team. And it can kind of be related back with the whole theme of camping. Are you a guy that gets into camping, you dig it, or man, I just wasn't into it? And I look at it like this. I mean, you have your two main storylines, Mark. It's quarterback and 3-4 scheme, but it can go a bit further than that. And is there one position group that you're most interested in seeing kind of grow and develop for the next 4 weeks till kickoff? You're a confidence ranking guy. I mean, you do your pool every week for college football, and you got to kind of pick the game you're most confident in, and then there's your least confident pick. Mm-hmm. And I'm asking you to do that with me here this morning to get rocking and rolling when it comes to position group. Now, from a
this is a lot harder than it sounds.
Right? Because, and I'll list them off here. Okay, you got quarterback, running back, wide receiver, O-line, D-line, linebacker, corner, safety, special teams.
Oh, you're breaking it up into corner and safety even.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, as a group.
Right?
I mean, don't you think that's fair to break it down?
You don't even know who's going to be playing there.
Right?
So, right?
Yeah.
That's tough.
Okay. Back to that fear of camping.
Yeah. You want me to kick it off?
But what I'm wondering here is pick one.
Pick one. Most confident.
I'm drafting safety.
Okay, I'm going safety.
That's with the assumption that Kalu doesn't move, and you got Aaron Williams, and then you got Kai Williams.
I did a bunch of studying of the roster construction last night. We'll get into that later after Chad Kelce. I did a lot of study into that, and there are a few spots that really jumped out.
Okay.
I'm going to go linebacker.
Nope. That's a good call.
I'm gonna go linebacker. Largely because of how the roster is constructed.
Sure. There's 40 of them.
So I'll go backer.
Okay.
All right, should we keep going?
Yeah, I pick safety. You go linebacker. Number two on my list is linebacker, because three of the four guys in this 3-4, I think I feel pretty good about. With Newby and Diedrich, and you've got Gifford and Newby. Yeah. I mean, that other outside linebacker spot is such one of the major concerns or questions for this defense moving forward, just because of what that other outside linebacker's got to be able to do. And you don't know whose spot it is. I mean, you think it's Alex Davis's, but he's coming off that foot injury. Didn't do a lot.
He's never done anything.
Exactly. Right. I'm just talking the short time he has stood up and been an outside linebacker, it was cut short due to injury. Yeah. Behind him, Cedric King, you know less about. And then there's Colin Miller, who also was hurt. So that says a lot. My concern here is, where am I at? Am I more concerned about the O-line, or am I more concerned about the corners? Let's just cut to the two position groups that, to me, have the biggest question marks. Running back, you know you have some production, but you don't know if it's going to be a great group effort or one guy can emerge. I'm pretty confident in the quarterback situation. I think the D-line will be okay. There's not a ton of depth that you know about there. I think the wideouts, despite losing, you know, half your production, I like who you got back. I like that charges have been dropped against Stanley Morgan.
Isn't that good?
And I think they can be okay. But right now, if I got to pick between corner and offensive line, I would lean more confidently towards the offensive line because of the experience they have. And we'll get into some of Riley's comments here in a minute on the offensive line this past week in Chicago. But corner, you've got two high-profile guys. You've got just tremendous athletes. You've got size. You've got length. You've got speed with Lee and with Lamar Jackson, and then there's the speed of DiCaprio Boodle. Those are the three guys you're kind of hearing as we get camp kicked off. But, man, it is going to be trial by fire, and you know how the lumps that Lamar took a year ago? Does he bounce back from that and perform and thrive? And then there's Lee, who's extremely high profile, and he's kind of been waiting his turn. But you don't know. He's not done it in game action. So yeah. Outside linebacker is a concern, but really the quarterback spot is probably my biggest concern heading into camp. It's not that these guys can't do it. It's that they're so young and they haven't done it before. They're like my biggest, I don't want to say worry, but they're my biggest question mark.
Yeah, 100%. Cornerback is my biggest concern too. And it's, look, as long as Lamar Jackson plays freely.
Sure.
You know, you could tell he was not doing that last year. He's either thinking too much or he's naturally not aggressive. If he's naturally not aggressive, uh-oh, that's not good. Something tells me that he is, though. Something tells me that he was just thinking a little too much, mm-hmm. and that's why you didn't see him play aggressively. Right? That's what you're hoping. Because you saw him. The dude bailed out on contact quite a bit. Like, let's just call a spade a spade. That mm-hmm. happened in the bowl game. It happened. It didn't happen his first game, though, which was surprising to me.
You know why? Because
you didn't have time to think.
No, you're in.
Yeah.
You had quick reaction. You get thrown in from the sideline. Go do it. Yeah.
He was more impressive to me versus Fresno State. Way more impressive. And he wasn't like super impressive, but he was at least right? Like he wasn't sticking out like a sore thumb. Come the bowl game time, though, he was making business decisions. Mm-hmm. So that concerned me. Uh-huh. I'm hoping that he's through that part. You know, he's got the ability, obviously.
Right.
And then Eric Lee, I like his build. Right. He's a kind of a thicker, squattier corner, physical looking corner. I like that. But these guys haven't done anything yet. Hmm. You know, they just have not done a thing. So they're a concern. I don't know, a close second to me is tight end.
Okay.
Because it's the same story.
I didn't list them as a independent group because you have Hoppus, you have Stoll, you have Snyder, you have unknowns, you have McNitt, you can kind of use as an H-back. And then I think it wouldn't surprise me, depending on how things kick off tomorrow and things motor forward, with Ben Miles. Not a tight end, but he's a fullback, but just using him as that H-back, you know what I mean?
I wonder if he's too small yet.
No,
he's
you're probably right.
He's only reporting to camp at 210.
Right, so scratch that. Forgive me.
But maybe, though. No, you don't know, because the kid is he's a tough little guy. There's 210-pounders that play Division I football, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, yeah. You don't have to be – but I don't think he's quite your hammer at fullback yet. Just because of his size.
Sure. No, I think at wide out / tight end, you'll be okay because of who your primetime players are coming in. And then I think out of the tight end group, you'll find someone that's reliable. I think Kavita will get him coached up. Kavita will get him coached up, and you'll work it. You'll be okay. You're not going to replace Ethan Carter, but Nebraska's had a lot of guys at tight end the last few years that were kind of unsung, got coached up, performed well, and were pretty good at doing their job from a blocking standpoint.
And Nebraska couldn't get them the ball half the time, let's be honest.
Or didn't get them the ball, right?
Right. Like, Seathan Carter, mm-hmm. has there been more of like a wasted talent that you can think of?
That's a whole nother segment. Like,
yeah, it's just, come on. So who knows? And that might make the tight ends emerge that much more. Just the fact that you have – are we just all in on Tanner Lee? You talk about unknown.
My confidence ranking has him third. I have the quarterbacks three.
I know. I have him up there too. But it's funny. The same reasons why we just ranked cornerbacks low and tight ends low is because they haven't proven anything. We haven't seen it. But yet, quarterback, we're just like, oh, yeah, he's fine. Like, and I agree, by the way. But you think about how flawed our logic is here.
Oh, it's welcome to Saturday morning.
Yeah, and it makes you understand why Nebraska is not getting any love nationally. Mm-hmm. In terms of how many wins it's going to get or anything else, is right? Because like, oh, they're replacing their quarterback and blah, blah, blah. But like, is it just because of all the stuff we've been reading about Tanner Lee? Is it because of what we saw in the spring game? Like, what is it that has pretty much next to nobody concerned that that's going to be an issue?
Here's and we had a chance to talk to Tanner a couple 3 weeks ago. Good chat with him. You've had a lot of stories come out about poise and confidence and leadership the last week. And you know what really kind of, aside from talking with him, a guy's word I put high value on is Steve Calhoun. We've spoken with him. Derek Peterson of Hail Varsity did a Q&A with him that's posted. You can read that if you haven't yet. And just some things that Steve talked about and knows about when it comes to quarterback, and you need that leader. You need that leadership factor. And the thing that kind of is revealed from a quarterback tutor guru who's been doing this for decades is the intimidation factor. There isn't one with Tanner Lee. That's the vibe. That's a trait that Steve Calhoun's very, very impressed with. He's not, he being Tanner Lee, according to Coach Calhoun, not starstruck. He's not intimidated. And you know, Nebraska fans are like, eh, guy hasn't played at this level. The guy's, you know, it's Big Ten football. That, and he wants it. He's ready for it. The biggest question you have is, well, why did he end up at Tulane, right? If the guy can throw it like
The way people talk Jameis about how he throws it is, it's bordering on absurd.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? Like, you're just sort of like, okay. And now there are quite a few people that have said it, but are they all just parroting each other, or is this for real?
No, I think it's for real, because Kranak, you haven't seen someone throw it like this here. So no, it's probably
just
Zach
Taylor.
The
way everybody's talking, like, pretty much since the day he showed up at the Manning Passing Academy, he was the best thrower, like, in the entire event.
Sure.
That's pretty much what they're all saying.
You've had 3 to 4 different people corroborate that.
I know. But it's just like, really? Like, really? Better than Jared Goff, better than Jameis, better than, you know, all these guys that have been drafted higher.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, yeah, he's a better thrower. And you're like,
great.
Okay. Like, cool.
Lottery.
That factor alone makes this season such a roll of the dice. That, you know, it's just like, if he's really that good, the way they're talking,
mm-hmm.
he's flirting with all conference, if not all conference. He's flirting with a first day draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
If he's really that good. Because think about the other thing. He's mature, right?
Well, yeah.
Did I just say mature? I meant mature. Sorry.
Whatever you want to call it. He's poised.
Well, and he's, I mean, even age-wise.
Yeah, he's 22 already.
Yeah, and he's going into his junior year. So, and if he already had that sort of unfazed mentality, you're even more unfazed now.
Well, let me ask.
He's had an entire year here to see the stadium and see what the games are like, see what the atmospheres are like. So that's not going to be foreign to him too. It's not like you're just throwing in some new freshman.
No, you know what's in Kranak? That's a brilliant point, because you know what's not new to him is adversity, is like worst case scenario, between the injuries, between the hits, between the hurries, between the sacks, between the concussions. I mean, doesn't it got to get better at Nebraska if you're a quarterback behind center?
Oh, geez. Yeah, it has to. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's nothing he has. There's not a Saturday. Listen, half the year he may not be treated like a pinata because he'll have better help around him. Every Saturday down at Tulane was tee off on Tanner Day.
I guess my biggest concern overall for him and for the fan base is the way he is being talked about in the offseason.
The pedestal.
I mean, I've never. When was the last time we've had one built like this? Sam Keller?
Yeah.
Sam Keller had that. Look what happened there.
Different personality. Different personality.
Threw cups at people.
Did he complete it?
Coke. That's a rumor.
Okay. First cocaine reference on Saturday at 7:26. Bingo.
You know, screen pass. Check down, check down, check down, check down, check down. That's what happened there. Injury, then he's out. Okay, so before that. That's sort of that's why that was Sam Keller story.
How many check downs did we get there? Seven?
check down. EA Sports, sue them. Like that's the Sam Keller story.
Mm. Okay.
And then, but very similar pedestal.
Yeah.
Right? Very similar.
Now, it's interesting.
So good.
Think about your confidence ranking.
Take Bill Callahan's offense to another level. Callahan's finally got his quarterback.
Because it wasn't Harrison. Yeah. Yeah. No. We are off and running on a Saturday at Tail Varsity Radio. Confidence ranking. Camp's going to get rocking here shortly. And what position group are you? You're most confident in? What position group are you little squeamish about heading into camp? And some of the rulings we've made are based on inexperience, and that affects where the confidence number is. Some it doesn't matter, like quarterback. One last thought on Tanner Lee. You hear about chemistry a lot this time of year, and you just kind of roll your eyes and glaze over with the storyline. But there's a difference between like true chemistry, organic, and kind of forced. And the line in Derek's interview with Steve Calhoun about a quarterback walking around campus, and if someone tried to pick a fight with your quarterback, as an O-lineman, would you step in front to take the punch or not? And these linemen, it sounds like, would for Tanner Lee. It's not always the case for quarterbacks at major football programs.
Yeah, okay, so he's got the leadership thing going for him.
Guys want to play for him.
He's obviously got the arm talent. That's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
He supposedly got that. If this is all the case, Nebraska should be well exceeding what people are expecting of them this year.
Well, you got to factor in the defense.
Well exceeding.
We'll get to the defense here coming up. Roster construction thoughts. And it is beautiful outside here in Lincoln. It's going to be a gorgeous day today and tomorrow. If you're taking the kids down to Fan Day, good for you. If you want to squeeze in 9 or 18 before you do it, no time like now to give a shout to Wilderness Ridge, 402-434-5106, wildernessridgegolf.com. Membership benefits and pricing, check them out. I know it's nearing August, but maybe some time opens up. They'll have fall specials as well, and it's something to think about for next spring. Go see Chris Thompson. Go see Mike Shuhart. Great food specials. Taco Tuesday's going on. Some great food at Wilderness Ridge to think about during the week. And, of course, Twilight specials going on with Wilderness on the championship course, on the talent course. So get a tee time today and spend it at Wilderness Ridge, wildernessridgegolf.com. Newest member of the Nebraska Football Hall of Fame, Chad Kelce, the pride of Auburn. The Rewind next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
With Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranach.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Nebraska Hall of Fame Class 2017 announced. Let's talk to number 57, Chad Kelce out of Auburn. And what a great Husker career. He got the Hall call yesterday. Chad, thanks for a few minutes. How are you doing today?
I'm doing outstanding. Thanks for having me on.
Well, take me through when you heard the news and your reaction.
You know what? It was crazy. My wife and boys were actually down in Phoenix, my in-laws down there, so they were down seeing Grandma and Grandpa. So I was actually pulling weeds, and, you know, it was like 100 degrees out last Saturday, and got done with that, went inside, sitting there watching a little golf on TV, and I was like, you know what? I should go grab the mail. Walked outside. There was three pieces of mail, a couple pieces of junk, and I saw this envelope that said College Football Hall of Fame, and it just kind of went to the back of the mind thinking, my gosh, there's no way that can be what I'm thinking it might be. And, you know, open the letter up, read it, and it was like, holy smokes. It was exciting and, you know, super crazy, but it was an awesome piece of mail to get on a Saturday, that's for sure.
Well, and a lot of Nebraska fans remember you, and tell us your story, Chad. I mean, you were a highly touted in-state player from Auburn. The blue chip rating was extremely high, and kind of looking at your history a bit, I mean, you were a linebacker and tailback at Auburn, and Nebraska finds you and puts you at defensive end. Take us through a bit of your recruiting process, if you can, and then just your impression when you got to Lincoln.
You know what? Really, what put me on the radar, had an opportunity to go to the Big Red Football School the summer before my junior and senior year, and when I went before my junior year, I was about as average as you know, most of the guys up there, you know, no crazy stuff, no big lights or anything like that, and then went up again before my senior year and tested out really well, and that's really what put my myself on the radar. And then ultimately, you know, got the offer before my third game of my high school my senior year. But I mean, at the end of the day, you know, Auburn was awesome to grow up in. I'm a small town Nebraska boy, and to get the opportunity to play at Nebraska was a dream come true. And to be able to be part of, you know, what we had going on in the mid '90s, as far as the success we had, it was just, you know, it was an awesome experience, and I feel lucky to be able to have been a part of it.
A few minutes with Hall of Famer Chad Kelce with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Some of the teammates, and spend a minute on Coach McBride, if you can, just what it was like to play for him and get mentored by him, and also, have you had a chance to speak with him since you got the induction?
You know what? I have not had a chance to talk with him since the induction, but Coach McBride's best coach I ever had. You know what? What's so special, and it, you know, not just Coach McBride, but a lot of the coaches that we had the opportunity to play under. You know, at the end of the day, we were there to play ball, but, you know, school was also an important part of the component of you know, being at the University of Nebraska. But most importantly, they, you know, they were kind of bringing us up to, you know, to be good young men and to ultimately, you know, go down the road and life after football and all that good stuff. But, you know, Coach was special. I do keep in touch with them. You know, I'd mentioned my in-laws live down in Phoenix, and Coach spent some time down there as well. So when we'll get down there over the holidays or whatever, it's always nice to catch up. But just a super special man, and, you know, from a football perspective, great coach, great teacher. And what I loved about Coach is, you know, it didn't matter if you're a three-time All-American or the last guy on scout team. If you're out there busting your butt, he's going to be the first guy to give you a big hug. And if you're not doing what needs to be done, he's the first one that's going to grab you by the face mask and light into you a little bit. So it was just the entire coaching staff is just, you know, great people and great coaches. And it's a you know, special opportunity all of us had to have been part of it.
Who were the teammates that kind of you bonded with while at Nebraska? And I look at Nebraska, and you played a special position at Nebraska when you look at just the greats at that rush end spot, and you're one of them, and you're in the Hall of Fame now. Who are some of the teammates from those mid '90s teams that not only helped push you, but also you had some great moments with?
You know, you could go down the list. There's you know, way too many to name, but I'll tell you that I went up to Nebraska, reported the summer before my freshman year, and early in the morning in the weight room, the first three guys I met were Grant Wistrom, Scott Saltzman, and Matt Berzahl. But Grant kind of took me under his wing right off the bat. And, you know, he was 1 year older than me, but kind of came in the same kind of deal where, you know, he was obviously an outstanding player and came in as a freshman and had an opportunity to play right away. And I remember one of the things he told me right off the bat is that, you know, hey, you know, you can do whatever you want, but it's really an easy game. Just go out, and every time you put your hand on the ground, come off the ball hard and fly around, and great things are going to happen. And, you know, I was not the biggest, fastest, or strongest guy, but I always kind of took the motto that, you know, if you try and work a little bit harder than the next guy, you know, typically good things are going to happen.
Your senior year, you're a co-captain. There's transition. Coach Solich takes the helm. Coach Osborne retires. You send him out the right way against Peyton in Tennessee. And that senior year kind of led to a great 99 season. Your 98 team was really good, but just had some youth at some different spots. And I looked at you, and I followed that team really closely, the 98 season, with the injuries the Nebraska team had, and you guys were in every game, and you won a lot of big games, and you had some tight ones you just quite couldn't pull out. But I looked at you as an anchor, and you had a ton of leadership and influence on that team and the following team that almost won another national championship. How did you approach your senior season, Chad?
You know, it really wasn't significantly different at all. It's basically you go out, and what I always learned from the guys ahead of me is that, you know, there were some guys that were more vocal than others, and the biggest change, you know, I was never really a big rah-rah vocal kind of guy as far as leadership. I had to take a little bit more of that role in my senior year, but I think the biggest piece is if you go out and you work your butt off and you go as hard as you can, that filters down to everybody below you. And, you know, I remember guys that when I came in as a freshman, I had Christian Peter and then, you know, obviously Grant and Jared Thomas and Jason Peter in front of me. You just watch those guys, how they went about their business. And, you know, they would work incredibly hard, and they expected that same type of effort out of everybody below them, as well as everybody out throughout the rest of the defense, as well as the offense as well. So, you know, from a leadership standpoint, I think if you just you go and you work hard and you do the things that you expect everybody else to do, everything else will follow. But with Coach Solich coming in as his first year as head coach, I loved playing for Coach Solich. I thought he was an outstanding coach. You know, very intense, and I love the way he went about things, and it was a tremendous experience to be able to play for him, and obviously to play for Coach Osborne for 3 years. I mean, that's a guy, I was a little kid, you know, you're watching the Huskers on TV, and you know, having a chance to go and play for Coach Osborne, that was just you know, a dream come true, and an awesome experience.
Chad Kelsey with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Did you attend many games as a kid?
You know what? Believe it or not, no. I went with a friend of mine from high school. We went down one time when I was a young kid and watched Nebraska play Kansas down in Lawrence. And that's the only game I ever had a chance to go to before I was being recruited. And so we were diehard fans. And I remember, you know, listening to the radio and watching on TV. But to actually have the opportunity to be recruited and to ultimately go and have a chance to play for Nebraska, I mean, that's a dream come true for any small town Nebraska kid, and to be able to go and do it, and then you know, like we talked about, be able to be part of some pretty successful teams, you know, it just a dream come true and an experience that, you know I will absolutely never forget.
Chad, what are your thoughts here? Year three and Mike Riley in Nebraska, do you still get a chance to follow the program quite a bit?
I do follow it, but I think the easiest way to describe my following is, you know, I'm a fan now. What's awesome about the program is, you know, they definitely reach out to the former players, and we've got the opportunity to get down and watch practices and be part of the program still. You know, but when it's all said and done, I like watching them as a fan, and I root them on as hard as anybody, and I want them to do well, and hopefully this year we'll continue to see some success and continue pushing the program back in the right direction.
Is there a moment that is kind of burned into your mind that you still, I don't want to say think about all the time, but you'll never forget is a better way to say it, on the field?
You know what, I get that question, you know, throughout the years, and there's so many, I mean, the entire journey through the program and through my experience at Nebraska was just so awesome. I mean, when you look at some of the big times, I mean, being a freshman, having an opportunity to play in that championship game against Florida was a pretty cool experience, having a chance to send Coach Osborne out with a national championship in 97, you know, that was incredible. incredibly awesome as well. So, but really, it's, you know, the entire time there, you know, you meet so many good friends and, mm-hmm. and the teammates you meet and the coaches that you develop the relationships with, you know, that's the stuff that you kind of carry with you now. And what's really kind of cool is, you know, the guys that you played with, or even, you know, guys like a Terry Keneally and those type of guys that I never had a chance to play with, but you become friends with afterwards. And, you know, you hang out with them and their family, and the kids are the same ages and grow up together. And, you know, it's fun. You get together and, you know, we can always relive the old glory days. And I think the stories get better and better every time, every year we get older. I bet the hits and the games and all that get a little bit better. And, you know, it's funny how that works when you start getting a little bit older.
You guys beat Florida by 70 the next in a driveway beer, right?
Exactly. You know what? We just, too bad with the internet and all that, people can actually go and see what's factual. But, yeah, pretty soon it'll be to that point, you bet.
What are you doing now? Tell us what you're doing professionally.
You know what? I'm here in Omaha, and I work for a company called Truck Center Companies. We are a Freightliner truck dealership group. We've got 9 locations throughout the Midwest, but we sell Freightliner trucks, and we fix them when they break down. But it's an awesome company. Trey Mitty is our owner. He's a huge Husker fan, huge Husker supporter, and we love to keep our finger on the pulse on how the Huskers are doing. And it's just it's the same type of environment like college, and you know, it's fast paced, and we want to be successful, and we work hard, and it's a good company to be part of, and it's a heck of a lot of fun.
Chad Kelce, Hall of Famer, 2017 Nebraska standout, and from Auburn, a Nebraska kid, great career, and in the Hall of Fame. Chad, we'll catch up again. Best to you and your family, and thanks for giving us a few minutes on Hail Varsity.
Thank you much. You have a great evening.
To rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranick.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranick, TJ Henning can find us on the ESPN Lincoln app. Take us with FM 101.5, 1480 AM. Mr. Kranick, you are going to put me through the buzzsaw here this morning. When it comes to roster construction, is that accurate?
Uh-huh. This is completely accurate. And I'm it now.
How many classes did we have? How many classes did we have together? And how many times did I perform well on pop quizzes?
You didn't do very good, but you know, you tried hard, Chris, and that's what was important. And we were all proud of you.
My peripheral vision was not good for the people sitting next to me.
No, not good enough.
No.
Yeah, you should have had like glasses or periscopes or something.
Something like that.
Yeah. So, look, okay, so now my margin of error is going to be plus or minus one or two, okay?
Sure.
On everything that we discuss here, because this is a manual ad kind of a thing. All right, they're looking at the Nebraska roster and just kind of how it's constructed in ways that we don't often just kind of naturally think about. So, and I'm going to quiz you on some of these. And then we'll draw our conclusions, okay? Okay, you ready?
Yes.
You have no idea what's coming. I know you don't, so this is great. I love doing this. Your palms are sweating now. This is great. This is where we want you in the morning. Because you had too good of a day yesterday. We got to kind of reintroduce some stress into your life.
Make okay, it hell again, okay.
Offensive line.
Hmm?
The position of offensive line. How many total people do you think are offensive linemen at Nebraska?
I think there are 42 offensive linemen on the roster.
There are 20.
Ay, caramba.
Okay, I know.
TJ
I know.
Turned you, and looked at me and said, what the hell? I just was thinking because they've stockpiled recruiting classes of all lines like the last 5 years.
Great, great, great point. And now here's the next question. This is the how
42?
I
42?
No, here's how I categorize these. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot of linemen.
Some of them have been switched to defense. I meant 20.
I was counting tight ends. Okay, so out of those 20, how many of them are scholarship? How many of them are walk-ons? Whether or not they're on scholarship now is immaterial. Did they arrive here as scholarship, or did they arrive here as walk-ons?
Of the 22, I would say...
Of the 20. There's 20.
20. Give me 14 on scholarship.
There are 16 on scholarship, 4 walk-ons.
Okay.
Compare that to 2011.
Oh,
22 guys on the roster. 12 were walk-ons.
Yeah. I'm thinking of...
Crazy to think about, right?
Well, yeah. I think about, you know, Spencer Long. You had Utter. You had the kid from Lincoln Christian. I'm forgetting his name. That played guard. So, yeah. No, they hit a big-time boom with walk-on offensive linemen. If you want to just get down to it, that bailed Nebraska out. And it, frankly, kept Nebraska in some games last year with guys that had to step in for injury.
Look, and what they should be are supplements, and every now and then you hit the Spencer Long home run.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the – you should not rely on walk-ons to, like –
start
the starters at multiple positions at any given time. Last year, I think in the Tennessee game, you might have had 5 or 6 of the guys on the field were walk-ons originally going against Tennessee. Fife, Riley, McNitt, Utter, Conrad, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's kind of a lot. I think Reimers might have gotten in there right too, right? Mm-hmm. So that's 6. Yeah. Like, and that's fine. And like some of those really good players, I'm not saying they're not good players, but you're getting kind of risky at that point, aren't you? Like that's kind of scary.
Not everyone's gonna be a lottery pick.
Not now. This is one of the more surprising groups out of everybody. Wide receiver. How many on the roster total?
Oh man,
I know it's hard. I know you don't think about it in these terms. It's not easy.
14?
17. Very close. How many scholarship? How many walk on?
Of the 14, I'm gonna go
17. Or 17.
I'm going to go 12 on scholarship.
This is crazy. 7.
Wow.
Of your 17 wide receivers. So during this recruiting class, if it seems like Nebraska is offering nothing but receivers and all you're hearing about is receiver, you only have 7 scholarship wide receivers on the roster out of your 17. Now, from that's crazy, right? Mm. That's like, what? Really? At receiver? So that's who Tanner Lee's throwing to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a couple of those guys will step up. Brian Reimers, Connor Young. You hear good things about some of the walk-on kids. Yeah, you hear good things about them, but, you know, I'd rather they be Stanley Morgans.
and he'll still be throwing to Stanley. And I hear keep some of these in your back pocket to...
Okay,
bust me up at 8:40. We'll continue with this.
As we go real quick, though, hold on. 125 total guys on the roster that I counted.
Mm-hmm.
How many are redshirt freshmen or freshmen?
30?
54.
Wow. Get developed. All right. Hour 2. Hail Varsity. Brandon Vogel's next.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
To Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine. HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, TJ Henning. As we move forward, camp day gets rolling tomorrow for Nebraska. Fan day and movie night tonight. We welcome in with HailVarsity.com and magazine Brandon Vogel. Find Brandon on Twitter at Brandon L. Vogel. Vogues, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, Schmidt, should I just officially start going by Brandon L. Vogel to sort of get brand synergy across Twitter, my actual name? These are things I think about before season starts.
No, it's you know, whatever you want to do. I mean, I like Brandon L. Vogel. I like Vogues. I like
the middle initial does seem a little pretentious and writerly to me, so I probably will just stick with what I've had for my entire life, I guess.
Yeah, but so when creating the Twitter handle, there's probably a lot of Brandon Vogels out there. Was the L necessary?
Well, it was. That's why it's there. Uh-huh. There's at least a couple. Well, one of whom used to be a a professor at Bowling Green, I believe. Mm. So, yeah, it was a necessity thing.
Okay.
Wait, now, your middle initial stands for what again? I missed it.
Lee.
Lee. So at what point are you rich enough to just go by B. Lee Vogel? Because, you know, that's a thing, too. First initial, middle name, last name. But I think you have to be, I don't know how rich, but you have to be really rich.
Yeah, I think you have to have a law degree as well. So, which, I mean, there's still time.
Is that what it is? You have to be a lawyer and rich.
Well, I mean, maybe it's the Lee echo, but the first thing that comes to mind is F. Lee Bailey for me.
Right.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Keeping with the law theme, make a case for your most confident position group heading into camp. Kranak and I went back and forth on kind of confidence rankings of position groups, and shame on me for putting tight ends with wide receivers, but splitting corners with safeties. That said, who are you most high on going into camp, and what position group are you most unsure about as 2017 camp kicks off tomorrow morning?
Well, a guy that I think will really benefit from having a year under his belt is Zach Darlington at Holder. Not many schools trot out a high three-star as their holder, so that'll be good. if we can divvy him up, it might be inside linebacker for me. Outside linebacker, you still got a bunch of options that you're trying to sort through. Safety is probably close as well, but, you know, cornerback all of a sudden became a big question for Nebraska going into the season, and Mike Riley talked a lot about it in Chicago. That was kind of a group that was the one, you know, if you were going to do them as all four, that you kind of said, well, that part's good. You feel okay with what's happening there, so. There's not a ton of them on this team going into to practice, which starts tomorrow.
Brandon L. Vogel with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Now, from Big Ten Media Days, what stood out? I don't want to just say what stood out, but I guess as it relates to Nebraska, did you notice a difference in interest regionally or nationally from the people that were attending?
Not really a difference, because I think Nebraska has, you know, you take away that first year where Nebraska came in from the Big 12 and was picked to win the conference. They've kind of been the same team. You know, there was obviously interest around Mike Riley in his first year, as there is around any new coach. But, you know, it's Nebraska is sort of, and Chris and I talked a little bit about this when, as media days were going on, Nebraska sort of exists in that middle group there. You know, if Michigan and Ohio State are always going to get attention, I don't think Nebraska's at that level yet in terms within the Big Ten. And I don't think Penn State was either, although that changed a little bit once they finally won a conference title. So I guess if anything, it's a little bit more of the same. And that's notable in itself, in that if you look at this conference from the 30,000 foot view and say, okay, who are the news-making programs here, you're probably always going to go with the historically most successful. But that group in the Big Ten is really only two at this point, I think, Ohio State and Michigan.
Brandon Vogel with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Now, Vogues, we were kind of getting into some roster construction stuff, and Kranak was quizzing me, and I failed miserably the offensive line question.
Oh, did you hear any of that, Brandon? Because if not, I'm going to kind of dump some of this on you, too.
I did not hear any of that.
Sweet. Good. No, that's good. I'm glad you didn't. All right, good.
Okay. So can I continue here, Mark? Or
yeah, you can. I'm sorry. I just had to take that note.
Okay. That's fine. So prepare yourself, Vogues. What's your read on the Lee hype machine? Where are you at with it? And I'm pretty measured with what's real and what's excessive expectation-wise. But I know what my eyes tell me from a talent standpoint. I know kind of the personality, a brief snippet with our interview with Lee. And then, you know, Steve Calhoun. Derek Peterson had a nice Q&A with Coach Calhoun. We've talked to Coach Calhoun. And then some of the things in this Q&A I guess sold me, maybe more so than anything other than, you know, the few minutes we have with Tanner Lee. But I think it sounds pretty good for Nebraska here. And the reasons Steve kind of outlined specifically that leadership factor, and I know that's a popular topic to talk about as camp gets moving, and it'll be even more popular during camp, but I'm buying it. Vogues, what's your reaction? Yeah.
I am too, and here's why, I guess. At this point, now you can't prove any of this. There's no tape that you can go back to and say, well, here's why the praise has been this effusive to this point. But you sort of have to fall on the wisdom of crowds a little bit and sort of, I guess, give people the benefit of the doubt. Because at this point, if he doesn't come in and have a very good season, you know, I'm talking one of the three or four best quarterbacks in the Big Ten based on who's coming back, then everybody was wrong. Almost literally everyone. I mean, I can't think of anyone out there who's saying, look, you've got to temper expectations. We know the guy's a fit. We know he has all the tools to an almost sort of Ray Allen as a jump shooter degree in terms of people, how people talk about his throwing ability and throwing style. So either all of those people are wrong, or that's actually a fair expectation. And I'm trending towards the latter. You mentioned the Q&A that's on the site right now with Steve Calhoun, which was fantastic. That changed things a little bit for me, but maybe in a slightly different way. So Derek Peterson, who did the interview, went through over and unders on the season with Tanner Lee. And, you know, Derek based his questions on what Lee had done at Tulane. And the yards this season, I think 2,200 or something was about where Tanner was at Tulane. And Calhoun's response was way over, quote unquote, way over that number. He said 3,500. Sounds like a lot. Until you go back and look, Tommy threw for 3,000 yards in 2015. That was his first year in that offense. Whatever they did to sort of mold it to him, plus the talent on hand. Now, granted, Nebraska went 6-7 that year, but it kind of shows you, I think, what is possible. And if you buy all of the better fit, better toolbox things, 3,500 all of a sudden becomes a little bit, it's definitely on the table, I think.
Well, and that gets interesting. You know, Tanner Lee has better tools here. And overall, of course, yes, Nebraska is a better program than Tulane. We can all say that confidently. We could also probably say that Nebraska's offensive line is likely a lot better than whatever Tulane's offensive line is. But here's where some of the roster construction gets into play. I found this interesting. Put you on the spot here. Out of Nebraska's, and I counted, this is a manual count, so little margin of error there. I counted 126 people listed on the roster right now. Out of those 126, how many do you think are wide receivers?
Let's see. Including walk-ons, since we're at 126, yeah. I'm going to say 15.
Very close. So you got 17. Now, out of those 17, how many are scholarship guys or came in as scholarship guys? How many came in as walk-ons?
I'm going to guess 9.
7 scholarship, 10 walk-ons out of your 17 wideouts. Like, that number seems very low, right? Like, it's not just me.
It is low. You know, I guess if you had Keyshawn here, you'd get a little bit closer by 1. But still, the point is, you've got a lot of walk-on guys there. And for what, you know, what Nebraska probably is going to be in the years to come, it's a young unit, but for sure.
Yeah, and so you talk about who he has to throw to. Stanley Morgan, he's as proven of a player as Nebraska has on the roster. DeMornay's not far behind, although we don't really know. He hasn't been the same ever since his injury. Outside of that, though, it's kind of like, who are going to be the guys? Who do you expect? If you just go ahead and assume it's going to be Stanley Morgan gets your most targets, DeMornay's probably second. Who do you see as emerging as that number 3, number 4 target?
Spielman.
Yeah, I think it'll be a sort of three-headed monster there at slot between Spielman, Williams, and probably Lindsay. Like, you know, we kind of put this out there as a poll a week or two ago in terms of who you think leads Nebraska in receptions, and I think it could actually, if you include that slot position, there's just one guy, which I just said it won't be, but that guy has the potential, that three-headed guy, I guess, has the potential to catch a lot of balls, and I think that might end up being it. So it'll probably be a collective relieving of the pressure on Morgan and Pearsonell from that spot. I also think, you know, tight end is going to be up there. You know, it was interesting in Chicago. It was just kind of a quick comment from Mike Riley, but he said Hoppus is the best pass catching tight end he's had in quite some time. So They're certainly high on him. And you know, they've got enough depth at tight end. Like a lot of other places, it's not proven to this point. But you'll see a pretty good complement of guys there.
Brandon Vogel's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Vogues, a thought on Riley's comments about the offensive line. And to kind of paraphrase, there's experience. I expect them to be good. They need to be good. I mean, boom, boom, boom. Take notice. Be good at running, please. And what just normal Mike Riley smiling while saying it, or a more pointed message to those 300 pounds or over?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was, I'm trying to remember now, it felt more like a little bit of typical Mike Riley, which is, you know, pretty honest. It's like, look, we know we need to be better there. And here's a little bit of how we do it. I don't know if you guys remember the EA Sports college football game. I'm assuming yes. Oh, but, yeah. You know, there was a good stretch of years in there where one of Lee Corso's canned statements was how to deal with the pass rush. Got to run screens and draws. You're hearing that a lot from Nebraska now. The screen game is pretty interesting in terms of, I think it got better in year two. It still wasn't a work of art, and it definitely wasn't in year one. But, you know, a lot of that falls on the offensive line, too. It's how you help them, but the offensive line still got to do a bunch of executing on that, too. And I think that part of it, it's just hard to get away, even when you break it out by individual groups, about how much of this is sort of a total puzzle versus the individual pieces. So can a more efficient passing game help the run game, which then helps the offensive line? Can the screen game, which relies heavily on the offensive line, help the run game? It all kind of fits together, and with so many unknowns, it's really hard to come up with, well, here's how Nebraska's running game gets better, because it doesn't feel like one individual facet doesn't feel that way for the offensive line. The one place I guess you might have it is the passing game, where it all just falls on Lee's shoulders a little bit. So it's good to have camp finally starting, so maybe we can at least start to see a little bit, for those of us who get to go to practice, how some of those things are coming together.
Brandon Vogel with this Hail Varsity Radio. Speaking of offensive line, a little more roster construction things, and I think one of the reasons why I'm sort of more bullish on the offensive line than I think some people are giving it credit for. So you got 20 guys who are listed as offensive linemen. How many of those are upperclassmen?
You might have three that are on scholarship. Not sure if there's some walk-ons sneaking in there, but you've got, I guess, Neville, Gates, Farmer. Are those the only three? And Foster, I guess, so four?
There are a total of six upperclassmen that are that are either juniors, because you also you have, let's see, you got Cole Conrad. He's a junior.
Oh, yeah.
This is a guy you missed. Gerald Foster, you mentioned. Nick Gates, you mentioned. Anyways, you got his, so, but 14 of the 20 are redshirt freshmen, or sophomores. Out of the entire group, there are only four walk-ons among the 20 offensive linemen. Doesn't that seem a little lower to you? Like, if if I just asked you that straight up, if I said, hey, Nebraska's got 20 linemen, how many are scholarship, how many are walk-on, you'd probably guess more than four, right?
Absolutely. I think you'd almost go half and half, really. I mean, yeah. Knowing that 10 scholarship linemen would be low, but that's kind of what you expect at Nebraska. Like, if you think there's going to be a heavy walk-on spot, you're going to expect offensive line.
Yeah, but so as it relates to roster construction, that tells me, so all your upperclassmen that I just mentioned, they're all going to be contributors. You know, Conrad is one of those four walk-ons. He's a hit, right? Like, that worked. The guy can actually play. But just behind that, you have nothing but scholarship guys duking it out for the most part. And it's like, that's a good sign. If you go back to like 2011 on the offensive line, I think there was something like 22 offensive linemen on the roster and 12 were walk-ons.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like, and so at that point, as a program, you are relying upon walk-ons to man key positions. Like, they're not just supplementing, they're not just filling in, you're not just maybe getting the occasional hit. Like, you are fully relying on them to start and play well. And you can't be in that spot with the walk-ons, right?
Well, I don't think so. I think Nebraska is a little bit tough to balance, just because the walk-on tradition is such a big part of things in Lincoln. So you've always got to make an effort to, I guess, so the classic walk-on story is still possible, or maybe you don't. I mean, maybe in a perfect world, you just kind of, you have your scholarship guys, they work out, and there you go. You could probably still win a bunch of football games that way. But you're right, now that you mentioned that, thinking back to the Pelini era, particularly on the offensive line, that felt like the story a lot of the time. You know, you deal with an injury, which you're always going to deal with on the offensive line. And, you know, you had some walk-ons come in and play really well, but it wasn't, you know, they had to play well because the depth just wasn't there in terms of options up front.
Yeah, and by the way, I misspoke. There are five upperclassmen, and they're the five projected starters.
Yeah,
basically. Like, and to me, that's good too. That's also a good formula. Like, that's what you want out of your offensive line. You don't want freshmen playing in the Big Ten on the offensive line, like, generally, right?
No, you better be getting the top tackle in the country or top two or three if that's what you're going to have to do, because it's so hard for freshmen to play up there. Experience is always weighs heaviest, I think, at least in my opinion, on the lines.
Yep. Vogues, before we say goodbye, two things. One, tell folks about your book with Coach John Cook, Dream Like a Champion. Two, how many people do we need to rustle up to go get T.O.'s Skybox? What's the number?
And then three, can me and Chris do the audiobook version of your book?
Ah, I never thought of that.
I hadn't considered anybody else. So,
okay,
so
good. Of course. Because he hadn't considered it at all.
Yeah, the book's out now. I haven't seen if it's on store shelves yet. It just got to the warehouses, like, you know, a couple of weeks ago. But that means if you want to pre-order from the University of Nebraska Press website or Amazon, Barnes & Noble, et cetera, it'll ship. You'll get it. So the book is, I guess, officially out. Really excited for people to read it. It was something that had sort of been in Coach Cook's mind for a long time. And I think even if you're not a diehard volleyball fan, there's a lot in there for just the general reader, the person who's interested in coaching or leadership. So check it out if you get a chance. It's available now. In terms of people for the Skybox, we're talking about people like you and I know. We might have to be upwards of 50 or 60, I'm thinking, to even come close to that number.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I got five on it.
Yeah. Well, we'll work on that. And Dolman painted the most hilarious picture of T.O., you know, holding two fingers up, not like he's going for two against Miami, but he's on a street corner walking into the stadium looking for two.
And he started.
Coach Osborne wants to do a video of how I get into games now.
Yeah,
we will happily supply a video crew for that.
That's, think about it. He starts at the rail and he makes his way from O Street down through the rail yard with two fingers up for Wisconsin. Well, he'll be on the field for that, being honored, but for the next week. That'd be funny. Tio's trip to O Street and in downtown looking for two together.
and whoever he plops down next to right before kickoff, yep, it's all gold.
That'd be funny. That'd be so good. All right. Bogues, have a great weekend, man. Thanks for a few minutes.
All right. Hey, Schmitty, you're on the clock for the SEC Big Ten Coach Draft. Go make your pick.
Okay, thank you. They got the warning on air. There we are. HailVarsity.com is where you go. Great message board community, fantastic inside info. And, yes, we are having an SEC Big Ten coaching draft. I picked Harbaugh, and I picked James Franklin, and Vogues was too kind to scold me for doing so.
Hey, wishful thinking that I just want to throw in?
Yes.
Because you know how everywhere Urban Meyer goes, I guess you can only say that this happened at Florida. But again, wishful thinking. You know, it starts to implode on itself, right? Because that's what happened at Florida. It imploded on himself.
Right.
You know, he had Aaron Hernandez murdering people. The whole thing was a disaster.
Come on now. You can't blame him for that.
Well, and Tebow was an accomplice. That's a rumor.
Wow. Crane, you're going to get sued this morning.
I don't think that's true. No. How is it going to work? Does Kevin Wilson strike you as a guy who will be okay with Urban meddling in his offense?
No. And
I know.
I think that's why he got hired. Because the last 2 years until they got Cardale Jones to sneak in for the final three games, they were a mess offensively.
Urban's never acquiesced on the offense, though. He's never done it.
Well,
he can't help himself.
He's going to let Wilson do his thing. That was terms of agreement.
We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
We'll get caught up with Greg Smith of Hail Varsity, get his thoughts on Nebraska football as camp gets rocking, and Greg's thoughts on some recruiting and media days. That's next. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Hector, here's the game plan. You're going to bring us two absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out.
Excellent strategy, sir.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranach, TJ Henning. And making his first of many, he's not agreed to this, appearances on Hail Varsity Weekend Edition. Greg Smith.
Oh, I think he signed it. I think it was in the contract somewhere.
Recruiting expert, covers Nebraska football at Greg Smith HV. Greg, what's on the smoker this morning? Have you got that fired up yet?
I do not. I'm actually going to someone else's smoker today. I don't know what's on their menu. So the smoker, for me, it still has a cover on it this morning. But let's get back to that. Did I sign up for every Saturday?
No.
Kranach said that was in the contract.
Yeah, you didn't read the fine print, did you? You were too excited.
No, I didn't. I'm a trusting soul, man. I didn't read it all.
You sound disappointed. I'm messing with you. How was Chicago? Thanks for joining us this morning, man. And I want to start off with just some takeaways you had on Nebraska, the guys you covered, the players you talked to from Nebraska, and then Coach Riley, your time around him. This time of year is positive. Camp's going to get going tomorrow morning. Great. But what was your read? Do you think it was genuine excitement, or do you think it's, let's get rolling and see how it shakes out? How did you gauge that?
You know, I think from Coach Riley, it was genuine excitement. I think it's excitement and curiosity. Okay, it sounds a little weird to say in year three, Coach Riley is curious to see how this is going to go. But, you know, what's been the dominant storyline or one of them throughout this offseason has been all the uncertainty and all the question marks that are surrounding this team. And I think that he understands that, knows that there's a lot of things that are kind of up in the air, whether it's a first-year quarterback that, yes, he's played college football, but his first time at Big Ten-level football. They got a new 3-4 defense, a lot of other changes. So that uncertainty and anxiousness, I think, is felt by everyone. But I think that can be a good thing, because for Coach Riley, maybe that re-energizes him, you know, because he's been coaching for quite a while now. But in terms of the players were nice. They were loose. They had a quiet confidence about them. Of course, there was a lot of talk about, you know, not very many people picking Nebraska to do very much this year in the Big Ten. And they kind of scoffed at that, but not kind of in the brooding way that a lot of Wisconsin players kind of felt like they were disrespected, and I still don't understand why. But it was more of a quiet confidence about themselves that, hey, they're going to go out here and take care of business and prove people wrong.
You know, Greg, who now it's a media setting, so who knows? But outside of Nebraska, which teams maybe stood out as like, you know what, their mentality just seemed right, body language, whatever else it might be?
Actually, Penn State was the team. And this time, you know, it's interesting because in these events, and it's weird because Big Ten Media Days has become more about the coaches than the players in a lot of ways, because there's a lot of talk going into it about how some of the star players around the conference, guys that are potential Heisman candidates, weren't at the event. So it's a lot about the coaches. So you're picking up a lot from the coaches. James Franklin was really interesting because, you know, you still always have a lot of attention towards Urban Meyer. You always have that attention towards Jim Harbaugh. There was an interesting moment where Harbaugh and Franklin were opposite sides of the room holding court, and the Harbaugh side was just having a great old time laughing and joking around, and Franklin just kind of stops and kind of angrily says, man, they must be having a good time over there. Which I say that to say that they were overlooked. Like, Penn State seems like if you had just dropped into Big Ten Media Days, you would not have known that Penn State was the reigning Big Ten champions. And I think that will end up fueling him throughout this season, because I feel like he's going to be able to beat the drum of disrespect all season long.
I think you're right. He's been ticked off about maybe how inconsiderate from a noise level things were going on between Michigan and Penn State. And you're right, Greg. It even happened to him on the set of BTN when he was talking to the BTN crew. I mean,
right.
I mean, you have Harbaugh hooping and hollering and ticked him off. But, you know, the whole narrative too, and correct me if I'm wrong, was, well, last year's last year. We're not thinking about it. This year's this year. I mean, that was kind of his mantra too. Don't rest on your laurels. And I think Penn State's, man, they just look so explosive. I mean, they found a way against Penn State, against Ohio State. They remember getting smoked by Michigan, and then they came out the other side with a really you want to look at it, a chance to be 12-2 last year. They finished 11-3, but I mean, they're kind of ahead of schedule based on how ordinary they looked the previous 2 years, don't you think?
No, I definitely think that. He was asked that in his opening press conference, if he thought that they were ahead of schedule. You know, as can be expected, he kind of sidestepped that and said, you know, we have high expectations here. There's always expectation for championships at a place like Penn State. But no, I think that that is the prevailing thought, that they're definitely ahead of schedule. And I think that he's also correct in trying to make sure that his team does not rest on their laurels, because it's not as if other teams are not going to now be gunning for you. So that's going to be one of the interesting storylines in the conference, is how does Penn State handle success? Like, it's different when you're on that roll and you're winning 7-8 games in a row and you're kind of on the rise. But once you have that target on your back from day one, like an Ohio State always has, it's a different mindset going into a season like that.
Greg Smith with us, Hail Varsity Radio. You look at who Nebraska brought. You brought Tanner Lee, you brought Chris Weber, you got Aaron Williams were Nebraska's representatives. And it's funny because you look at those and look, Aaron Williams is proven, but I wouldn't say he's proven high level. He's proven. You trust him. You think he'll get better. That's fine. Tanner Lee hasn't done anything. Chris Weber had a nice stretch 2 years ago. out of everybody that out of all the teams, would you say Nebraska probably brought the least proven contingent?
Yeah, out of the teams that kind of matter, right? Like, I mean, we can toss out like the Illinois, Purdue, and Rutgers of the world.
Yeah. Always toss.
Right? Yeah, you always toss them around. A lot of jokes about not knowing who Chris Ash was walking around. But yeah, I would say that Nebraska brought the least proven contingent, which kind of goes back to what we started out talking about, right? About the uncertainty of the season and trying to figure out what's going on. Like, it's so interesting to see kind of our perspective on some of those guys and the guys that you just mentioned that came to Big Ten Media Days, like Nebraska media's perception, because, hey, we think that Chris Weber's going to be a pretty good inside 3-4 linebacker. We think that Aaron Williams is on the rise, and he's shown, you know, because he's gotten a lot of praise throughout the offseason, and you know what people think about Tanner Lee around here. But then when you talk to people outside of Nebraska, they are kind of looking around saying, who are these guys? Like, yeah. So I think that we do have to kind of bridge that gap. And that's why when the season gets here, we'll be able to figure that out, of course. But it is interesting to see kind of the Nebraska perspective on those guys versus what happened with guys in the conference. There were a lot of questions essentially saying, you know, who are these guys?
Greg, let's get an update. Recruiting, what's the latest with Nebraska from an offer or a standpoint of guys making the cut, having Nebraska on their list? How, I know it was media day and camp starts tomorrow, but how noisy has it been, or has it been at all from a recruiting standpoint?
You know, things have slowed down a little bit, and I would say that people, it was expected that July would be really big for Nebraska, so they had a good June. And then Mike Riley came out and said the thing about the class could be wrapped up by the end of June. It was funny, we don't talk about that so much anymore. So things have kind of slowed down, but they did have a 4-star wide receiver, Isaiah Crocker, out of California, the Sacramento area. Really smooth route runner, good player, about 6'1", 175, good size. He narrowed down to his top five, and he had Nebraska in his top five with the likes, I think it's Alabama, Oregon State, Nebraska, and I believe UCLA in that group. But so that was good. They made it down to the cut. And then I caught up with Tommy Bush, a 4-star wide receiver out of Texas, with an interview that's on HillVarsity.com currently. Just kind of talking about his recruiting process, and he has a top 11 that is going to be coming out soon, 11 for his number 11, and all indications are that Nebraska will be in the mix for him. He's really intriguing because he's 6'5", about 175. Used to play quarterback. He's barely played wide receiver, but he's got over 40 offers at wide receiver already. So his recruitment is blowing up, but he is not from Texas, so he's not loyal to Texas and Texas A&M. So that's always a good thing, trying to pull kids out of that state.
Josh Moore update. Is there any, or is it still status quo?
He came out and said via Twitter that he is 100% committed to Nebraska, that they, you know, don't believe false reports or something to that effect. There was all the talk about him potentially taking a visit to LSU, which, interesting about that is, it is not as if people just kind of made that up. Like, he was the one that said that he was going to take all of his official visits. So I wonder if it came down to, you know, Coach Dub, Keith Williams got a hold of him and said, hey, we prefer that you not go ahead and take these visits. If you are truly committed to us, just go ahead and say a little something, and we'd like you to not take these visits, because we're seeing a similar situation with that, with a guy that we're trying to flip, and TJ Pledger, running back, everybody's favorite running back, that's currently committed to Oklahoma, where he's essentially said in recent days that he would like to take a visit to Nebraska and possibly Georgia during the season, but he wants to check with Oklahoma to see what they think about it. I'm going to go ahead and assume that they're not going to love that. We'll see if he goes ahead and makes that visit.
Greg, as we wrap up here, bud, give me two or three young pups, freshmen, you're going to be watching at practice.
Well, I guess we'll stick with the receivers. There's a couple there that have been mentioned quite a bit, Tyjon Lindsey and Javon McQuitty, for a couple of different reasons. One, Tyjon, one of the top slot receivers coming into college football this season, out of Vegas area, been named as one of the fastest kids on the team. Really want to see how he looks out there in his first college practice that we get to observe. Javon McQuitty out of Missouri, who was a nice, highly touted kid coming in this last recruiting class, but was not really able to practice during the spring, so I'm really intrigued to see him. But then I'm curious to see, once we get pads on, I'm assuming tomorrow we won't have any pads, on the defensive side of the football, Damian Daniels, big defensive tackle, slides to play nose tackle for Nebraska. I'm really curious to see if he can work his way into the rotation, because one of the things that always kind of happens with those younger defensive linemen that are that big coming into college, their conditioning is not always up to snuff. So can he get himself to a position where he can work his way into a rotation? Not saying he's ready to start right away by any means and upset Mick Stoltenberg, get him out of that spot. But at this point, I want to look for, can he stay in for consecutive plays and be able to work into the rotation?
Love that stuff. Follow Greg on Twitter at GregSmithHV. Read his work, HaleVarsity.com. Greg, thanks for taking time this morning, man. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, see you guys tomorrow, and I'm happy to be on with you guys on Saturday per my contract.
Take care, man. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you, Greg.
Have a good one.
There he is, Greg Smith with us, HaleVarsity Radio.
You know what else is interesting about the defensive line? Yeah, can Daniels get himself ready? Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you were to wager, you'd say no. He's just, right, true freshman, Big Ten.
If you can get minutes out of him, snaps, series.
Amazing.
Mick's diverse enough. Now, I'm not saying you move him from nose, but I'm saying Mick could play a defensive end for you on a pass rush situation.
And that's one thing that I think is pretty interesting about this 3-4 is that you always hear that you have to have that giant run stuffer that's 400,000 pounds,
right?
And man in the middle. But Wisconsin last year, they rolled with a guy that was 280.
Mm-hmm.
Right? After they lost their big hog.
Their 340 guy got hurt.
Yeah.
And they survived.
So and they were fine. They were a top five defense in the country. So I think Nebraska is going to have sort of an atypical mm-hmm. defensive line and some versatility, like you mentioned with Stoltenberg, the Davis twins too.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Those are guys that you could kind of move in, move out either way. So Nebraska might have kind of an asymmetrical defensive attack that could yield results.
Well, you've got four bodies in Mick, the Davis twins, and Freedom, and then who else can kind of join the party, give you some depth, and yep. give you some specialty. A quick timeout before we say goodbye on a Saturday. Hale Varsity Radio continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now it's time to get back to the Hale Varsity Radio Show with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
All right, that's it!
You two guys leave me no choice. No television for a week. What?
One final time on a Saturday, Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine, HaleVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. If you got time this weekend, and make time, go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds. Real diamonds. And they're grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. 10 to 40% less than traditional earth mine diamonds. A birthday and anniversary or just a chance to say I love you. Pure grown diamonds with Sauter Heyman. See your friends, Rick and Company, 12th and O, downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, Rod West, and Grand Island. Log on today, SauterHeyman.com. So this is the finale. This is it until we kidnap him. Sometime down the road, kidding, it's a felony. This is the last Saturday show for TJ Henning.
Kramer. What?
Yes.
Where's TJ going?
Well, we can't disclose that, but it's going to be cool and he's important, so we're happy.
TJ, good job, man.
He has strawberry, some sort of strawberry bread thing working, so it's not a muffin. What type of muffins did TJ bring? I will still be asking that, though, and texting him at 6:30 future Saturdays in the morning, asking him what type of muffins does TJ have today. But in all seriousness, we love you much, and we are proud of you, and we'll have more of a party Wednesday. But Kranak won't be here Wednesday, so
he won't.
It's the last,
this is it.
Last couple minutes for Kranak to give you some crap.
I wasn't prepared for this, TJ. That's so cool that you get to open your muffin food truck, finally. I'm really happy for you.
Well, it's the Seinfeld, because TJ's a Seinfeldaholic like me. The muffin tops. What was the name of the restaurant, Kramer one? Top of the Muffin instead of Top of the Mountain. There we go.
Are you describing my waistline, or are we talking about TJ's new business venture?
Kranak, you and I are old and we like alcohol, so I don't get into waistline.
And I think it's so cool that his best friend Brandon Kinney is going into business with him.
Oh yeah.
As we established, you know, during the Hale Varsity tailgate shows last mm-hmm. year.
Yeah.
TJ and Brandon, guy. Like they're like blood brothers, you know.
I think this might tattoo. That moment probably led to his departure because we didn't get him an autograph or invite him down.
I know.
To come hang out. But
it probably cinched it for us, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It did. Well, yeah. We will. We're investing in the TJ Henning food muffin truck, so that'll be cool. That'll be sweet.
Dude, I will buy from you at least once a year.
Absolutely.
Go ahead and book that revenue.
That is good. Okay, your weekend plans, Kranak. What are you doing?
So I'm going to take the kids to Fan Day today.
That's nice.
7 and a 4-year-old. This should complete the brainwashing. The 7-year-old's already kind of there. 4-year-old doesn't quite know what's happening yet, but I think this will cinch it for him because he'll never see bigger people.
Is this just cover so you can add to your Husker room?
Well, maybe. Yeah, I mean, I made them they're like officially on the JV Kids Club.
Okay.
So they're going to get a T-shirt and like a sticker, and they get to run on the field, and they get to be on there like before anybody else. If you're a member of the Kids Club, you get to go on the field 15 minutes early to beat the lines. So I'm going to do that thing. And what about you, man? Are you going? You taking Junior?
Junior, he said he would go if he could wear his Michigan State stuff, so I grounded him.
Oh, yeah.
I'm serious.
Oregon.
He's like, yeah, but I want to wear my Michigan State hat. It's like, no, not going to happen. They would beat you up down there, and I'd let them.
That wouldn't be good. No. Yeah.
All right. Well, enjoy Fan Day. Get some picks and tweet it out, Kranak. That'll be good.
Let's do this. Congrats, TJ.
Not of you,
whatever you're doing.
Not of you getting an autograph of your kids, of course. TJ, sure. We love you much, brother. You're awesome. And Ethan, thanks for sitting in today. As he says, just shut up and get out. Okay. We'll talk to you on Monday with Hail Varsity. Take care. Have a great weekend. Enjoy Fan Day. Enjoy the movie.